Sit down, buckle up. It's a lot going on, a lot going on. I just had word from Henry just a few minutes ago. First of all, hi, Henry. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. Good to be back.
All right. Here's the word I just got from Henry that I'm going to touch on a couple of other things. A case is confirmed now in Humboldt County, California, their first case in the county. The health authorities there say, don't worry, there's no danger of community transmission. Well, we'll see about that. But the big story of the evening comes from Iran, a country that has been off the radar that I've seen, at least in terms of this virus. No reports, no nothing. All of a sudden, everything has changed. And one of the largest cities there, Qom, Q-U-Q-O-M, I don't know how you pronounce it, but I think that's it, is apparently set now to be locked down, quarantined by the military. The Iranian military. How many dead? Henry, tell us the story. This is a big story.
Well, the reports that are coming out, it sounds like there's 9 dead. And there's about 60 cases, and there are multiple cities. And this really started, word of it anyway, started yesterday. And there were two fatalities that were reported. You mentioned that in the headlines yesterday. I hadn't really reported on it yet because there have been translation issues in the past. In Saudi Arabia, they said a novel coronavirus case was there, and that ended up being a MERS case, a Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, which is also a novel coronavirus. And so when this came up with 2 dead in Iran, the question is whether they were really, could the COVID, the newer version, SARS 2.0, as you put it, and others. I mean, it is a relative of the SARS virus. I mean, a fairly close relative. And, so then, this morning, it went up to 5. So in addition to the 2 fatal cases, there were 3 other confirmed cases that weren't fatal, and they covered a couple different cities. And, you know, when the cases were announced yesterday, that's always a bad sign when the first 2 that are announced are fatalities, because for every fatality, there's, you know, there's going to be 15 or, you know, 10
number of active cases.
Right, yeah. Right. That are relatively severe. They should be in the hospital, and then there would be another, you know, 15 times that would be infected. So it would mean there would have to be a lot of people infected to get to 2 fatalities. And then this afternoon, the word came that, you know, things have escalated quite a bit. And there were 9 cases, not 9 fatalities, included a 5-year-old girl, included a doctor. There's actually a picture of the doctor in the hospital before he died. Where he was just hooked up. And all of this, of course, was not coming from government sources. And so, you know, theoretically, it could be confusion or something, or it could be, you know, just opposition kind of information. But then this afternoon, British Columbia in Canada reported their sixth case, and she was in her 30s and had come from Iran. So the British Columbia ex-Iran case pretty much cemented that there really are cases in Iran, and there really haven't been any reports of cases prior to yesterday. And the reports that are coming out is that the real numbers are being suppressed, and that and some of these cases are similar to what was seen in China, that people are just dropping dead, sudden death type of a situation.
You mentioned that these are being reported, Henry, in cities all over Iran. In other words, in a number of cities. I hadn't seen
except for what you have
on your site. Go ahead.
Yeah, there were at least two, if not three. And then, I mean, some of these are coming out in tweets, so, they really need more verification. But
sure.
He had said that there's nine dead and there's 60 pneumonia, or at least hospitalized cases, many, if not all, of which have pneumonia. And so, that would all, well, nine is a lot. I mean, to go from two to nine is an indication that, there are quite a few. And
that's 450% increase in one reporting period.
Yeah, like I said, you got these multipliers. If you've got nine dead, you've got X amount of mm-hmm. pneumonia cases, and this one tweet indicates there's 60. And then if you got 60 pneumonia cases, you've got quite a few more that are milder cases that either have gone to a doctor locally and they really haven't been. I mean, I'm sure in Iran they have to go to some higher level health facility, a state level or national level.
Iran is a first rate country, and they have a very good government programs like this that you're mentioning. And I'm shocked that this would have been kept such a secret for apparently a matter of weeks, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to find out that it's this progressed is quite a surprise.
And then the other aspect of it, which is always concerning, is at least these cases, they have not traveled. These are all local cases. So it's not like, there was a big tour, a large number went to China or something and came back, and all of a sudden they and their contacts were positive. These people have no recent travel history, and they have no idea how they got infected. And that's actually true for the case in Humboldt County, in California. The reason I wrote local is because that person, and there's a close contact that's symptomatic, that's waiting for confirmation, but neither of them have traveled. And they would, if that is true, and I did post the press release out of Humboldt County, and they do not indicate that these had just returned from anywhere. And they kind of said they were
concerning. Very concerning.
They were local. The way they put it, it was ridiculous. They said, these are local cases, but they're not a surprise since there's so many other people that are traveling. And so they're saying, these are probably just one step removed, but they're probably not one step removed. I mean, it's a pretty remote area, I believe, Humboldt County. It's not that densely populated. It's not like they're in San Francisco or Los Angeles, where there would be a high concentration of people that are traveling. These are not likely to have caught it from somebody that's been traveling. They're likely to have been at least a couple steps removed from that, and they don't seem to be that sick. I'm still a little bit confused as to how they were identified. Right now, it sounds like they're being home quarantined. One has tested positive. The other is being tested. And like I say, if unless I misread the press release, I believe these are local cases, and these would be the first local cases that weren't a close contact. I mean, there's a couple spouses that are local, that their spouse went to China in both cases, I believe, and got infected and came back and infected spouse. And so the spouse hadn't traveled, but she or he was in close contact with someone who had traveled. It sounds like this cluster, neither of them had traveled. And that's when there's a problem, is when the person that's infected has no idea how they got infected, and they haven't been out of the country. And, that would indicate that they were infected by somebody in the country who has not been diagnosed, and that would indicate that there's a lot of people in the country who have not been diagnosed. So, when that, I would put it in an internet rumor, was that the CDC was hiding all of these cases. I said, I don't believe they're hiding cases. I think there are cases, and they're looking for those cases. And if there were 1,000 cases in the United States, that weren't identified, that wouldn't be surprising at all. That actually, I would say, it would be a low number. That there are probably much more than 1,000 cases in the U.S. that have not been identified, and most of them will be mild, and some will be in the hospital, and they can be in the hospital, and if they don't, I mean, if they ask them, have you been, traveling, and they'll ask all of them if they've been traveling. And if they say no, that will kind of be the end of it until this recent program to start doing surveillance at these 5 cities. And that literally just began in, I think, this week or last week. And I'm not sure that they would have had time to actually get a positive and decide to issue a press release and have that news go out already. So, I think that there may be more. I had said yesterday, I thought it would wait a little bit until the flu season went down a little bit, mm-hmm. and that's when mm-hmm. the first local case would be identified. And it was identified the next day, and very well maybe the first local cluster, because it seems likely that the other person being tested because they're symptomatic in the contact will also be positive. So that was kind of the red flag or the signal or the starting bell that when you start getting local transmission, that's when things are likely to take off, because
that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this exact kind of thing to pop up, and now it's here. These aren't import cases. These are community transmission cases of some kind.
Right, right. They have no idea how they would have caught that virus, but they're positive. And
I got an idea,
Henry.
That's
essentially what's being reported in Iran.
What about, what if they went to, and I don't want to put the lid on all Chinese restaurants, but what if they went into a Chinese restaurant in their city and there was someone in that restaurant who had recently come back and who was contagious? That's a possible.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of possibilities. The reason I mentioned that this is a fairly remote area is that it's less likely that that's the scenario there than it would be in L.A. or San Francisco or somewhere where there's a large population. And so there would be a more likely sequence
Humboldt
like that.
Humboldt County is not far away from me. It's nearby.
I know. But the point is that there's probably a couple people in between these two in Humboldt County and any traveler. And the point is that they don't even have to be Chinese. You've got There's local transmission with numbers going up pretty dramatically. South Korea's now up to, I think, they're well above 100 cases now, and they were well below 100 cases a couple of days ago. So they're at 156. So South Korea's at 156. Japan's at 97, not counting any of the Diamond Princess cases. Singapore is up to 85. So these numbers have gone up quite a bit. Singapore hasn't gone up that dramatically recently, but Japan was, I think, down in the 40s or 50s just a few days ago. And South Korea, I think, was at a similar level. So they're starting to get, you know, in addition to local transmission, they're getting 10, 20, 30 cases in a day. And they're not limited to one city or
remember,
one region.
Those are identified cases. We have a hell of a lot of cases that are still below the radar. So
Right. These are likely, you know, the only ones that aren't going to be hospitalized cases are going to be contacts. So the contacts, they may be mild cases. The mild cases, in general, are not going to be tested. If you go to the doctor and you've got a cold, they're not going to say, oh, maybe the cold virus is you know, this novel coronavirus, this COVID. They're going to say, you got a cold and, you know, go home and get some rest. And if you develop a high fever or you have breathing difficulties or, you know, coughing gets a lot worse, you know, if your symptoms deteriorate, then, you know, call me and we'll take a look some more and maybe do an x-ray, see if they got pneumonia. Then if they've got pneumonia, they might go ahead and run the test. So the cases I'm citing are almost all going to be pneumonia cases or are going to be contacts of known cases. And they, you know, I had explained what was going on in Hong Kong last week, where the first 10 or 12, I think it was the first 10 cases were all import cases. And then the next 30 cases or so, like three of them were import cases, and all the rest were no real identifiable source unless they were a contact. But most of them were contacts of people with no identifiable source and no travel history. So those were community transmission cases. And the Humboldt County sounds like that's the first community transmission in the United States. So those are the two big stories, is community transmission for the first time in the U.S. that wasn't a contact, and then apparently community transmission and an explosion in the number of fatal and hospitalized cases in Iran. And if they're exporting cases already, you know, that remember that when those calculations were done for Wuhan, those were originally based on just two exported cases. One was to Singapore and one was to Japan, I believe. And from that, they were saying there were 10 or 20,000 cases in Wuhan and the immediate metropolitan area, and then that number, of course, exploded, and so did the number of reported cases. So those are a couple of developments that indicate that the local transmissions are going to be fairly widespread. And it doesn't have to. It's certainly not just China. China is actually still reporting numbers going down, and you know their biggest area is still Wuhan, which has been in lockdown
there's talk
now
about,
for several weeks.
Beijing being locked down in the next few days because of the tremendous spike in reported infections and confirmations there. Yeah,
right, and they're also getting. You know, the number of deaths in places outside of Hubei province are going up pretty dramatically. I don't think it was much more than a week ago that outside of Hubei province in China, there were one or two, maybe three provinces that had two deaths and a few more that had one death. And most of the provinces that were being reported had zero deaths. And I'm just looking at the update now. I know Guangdong province definitely had zero deaths a week ago. They've got five. And Henan, which is close to Hubei, they've got 19 deaths now. And Hunan's got four. And Anhui's got six. And Anjiang has got 12. So these are deaths that are being reported. And, they're going up pretty quickly outside, even though there have been restrictions in these larger cities.
In Wuhan, for example, outside the city of 11 million and the surrounding suburbs, which make it about 20 million, they've ordered the other 24 million residents in that state, Wuhan state, to self-quarantine and stay home.
Hubei. So Hubei is the province that Wuhan is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Wuhan's a city. Hubei is the state or province.
Right.
And now 24 million urban, not urban, rural residents have been told to stay indoors. One person comes out every 3 days to go get food. That's pretty damn dramatic.
Yeah.
That's rural areas.
But the question that's going to, is hanging out there is that they can knock the numbers down, and at least the numbers that are being reported are down. That for all of China, the total today is 75,465, and it was like 74 something yesterday. So it was going up about 3,000 a day. I went to 2,500 now. It's going up just
hard
to
know
1,000
how they're
a day.
Running their statistics. We know they changed the way they were reporting about a week to 10 days ago. So it's hard to know. I look at Beijing from what I'm reading, an enormous spike to the extent that the party is talking about shutting the city down like Wuhan. That was the parallel.
Well, that's what I had said before. It's when you get to a critical mass and when you have a lot of people that are infected, then you end up having a subset of those have a high viral load that they're passing on. And so when you get infected by them and you start out with a lot of virus, it's a battle between the host and the virus as to how sick the host is going to get. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be based on how well they can handle the virus. And if you start out with a low viral load, most people can handle that and they end up with a fairly mild disease. But if they get a higher viral load at the beginning, then they have issues. And that can either be from one person that's got a high viral load or in areas where the infection rate is high, then you could be infected by 1, 2, 3, or 4 people in a very short period of time and create a high viral load. And then end up getting pretty much the same effect that you would get if somebody else had a high one.
I'm a little,
and that's what the difference is between like what's going on in China and what may be going on in these areas where it's just starting to take off. So they'll be generally milder. And that was the other thing that stood out about Iran was that they started out with deaths and it's kind of like it's already past this introductory phase without anything being reported.
Maybe they just put a lid on it and weren't talking. I don't know. I read the public relations release from Humboldt County, and it was very nice to see that they said there was absolutely no threat of local transmission, and yet they couldn't answer how the people got infected. So how could they say that? It's just kind of silly stuff.
I, I mean, what they're saying is they say, well, there's not a threat from these two because they got them under, apparently just self-quarantine. But, they say, well, they're keeping an eye on these two, so they're not going to be transmitting it. But just as you said, since they don't know how these two were infected, they really don't know what the that person or persons are doing now. And I brought this up before, but it's probably worth repeating. This is just like H1N1. When H1N1 started, it started with two boys in Southern California, and one was in Imperial County, the other was in San Diego County. And, they both had essentially the same virus. It was a triple reassortant, so it had genes from three different species, and some of them were North American, some of them were Asian. And I mean, the two viruses were the same. And neither of them had any contact with swine. They didn't have any contact with each other. And, that's an indication there's a whole lot of people in between that are infected because, these two had the same virus. And they even, by the time they had been identified, they, tried to see if other family members had it. And all they really had was that other family members had been symptomatic, but they had already recovered. And so they were good examples where they almost certainly had the same virus. But by the time they had identified it in the two boys, the other contacts of the two boys had already recovered. And there was, they were basically test negative. But they were under the radar. They weren't identified, period. But the only reason they were tested is because the two boys were positive. And then when they started, looking at what was going on prior to these two identified cases, they interviewed doctors in the area who said that they had received patients. And the main thing they had was, conjunctivitis, and they had very, very red eyes, and they remember how red their eyes were, but they really weren't that sick, and there was, there was no local test at the time anyway, and maybe diagnosed them as influenza, and if they did an influenza A test, if they tried to do a characterization of it to find out, how well it matched the current vaccine, they would find out that it didn't match at all and that the vaccine didn't recognize. And that's how they were initially being identified. It was like influenza A positive, seasonal flu negative, because they tested for right. H1N1 and H3N2, which right. are the two types of influenza right. A, and they were negative. So by the time they're identified, the virus is off and running, and there's nothing really that you're going to be able to do about it as far as quarantining, et cetera, because most of the people that are infected, you have no idea who they are.
I'd rather see the health authorities start talking about hand washing, about avoiding extremely crowded locations until we find out more about this, blah, 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 rather than say, don't worry, there's nothing to fear about community transmission. Yeah. All right, now here's another one. Man who died of the coronavirus here had organ damage similar to that caused by SARS and MERS.
Right.
Very interesting.
And no, very expected.
We're on the same page. I mean, interesting to see in print. I'm surprised to see they even bothered to print this. That's a very big story, and it's not a surprise.
Well, no, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And, I mean, these two viruses, the COVID is really very closely related to SARS. And SARS is relatively closely related to MERS. They're all class 2B. None of them were known prior to SARS. That's why SARS was called a novel virus, because coronavirus. But at the time of SARS, there were only two other coronaviruses that were known to infect humans, and right. those were right. OC43 and 229E, and they were basically cold viruses that produced, you know, very mild disease. They didn't produce pneumonia, and they didn't lead to fatalities. People got a cold, and they got over a cold. And that's what was so unusual about the SARS coronavirus, because it was a coronavirus, but it was a different class. And that's why it was designated as 2B, and that's why it was called a novel coronavirus, because it didn't match the two that were known. And then once SARS was identified, then they could look for more coronaviruses that were similar by taking a region that was in common with SARS and the two that were known previously. And that's how they started looking in bats and finding these new viruses. And then they actually found two other viruses that were common in humans. And they kind of named them after the institution. So NL63 was identified in the Netherlands, and HKU1 was identified at Hong Kong University. And then they looked, and it turns out that those are, again, milder coronaviruses that cause colds, and they're frequently found in children. They're pediatric cases because they really don't have that much immunity. And people generally get those viruses when they're young, and they develop immunity, and they don't get them when they're older. And they don't really cause serious disease. And then the current virus, it turns out, is closely related to the SARS virus. It's closer to SARS than any of the others. And MERS was identified later, and it is also related to SARS. But the current virus is closer to SARS than it is MERS. But they all have similar high case fatality rates, especially if the definition of a case is pneumonia. And the definition of a case for SARS and MERS is pneumonia. And for COVID, it was pneumonia. And they were getting, essentially case fatality rates in the double digits, around 15% or so. And then they decided, well, we're going to change the case definition and just make it anybody with clinical disease that tests positive for this virus on a PCR test. So if you've got the virus and you've got some type of clinical symptoms, you've got a bad cough and a fever, that's enough to be called a case. You don't need the pneumonia. So when you do that, you bring in a lot more people into the case definition, and the ones that don't develop pneumonia don't die. I mean, just because you get this virus doesn't mean you're going to get pneumonia, you're going to go in the hospital, and 10 or 15% of those that do that die. The chances are, if you get this virus, you won't go in the hospital. You'll end up with flu-like symptoms. You might have a fever, you have a cough, you would kind of look like the Ables. They were on video, and they were both coughing. They both insisted they weren't sick, that it was the air conditioning, but they both ended up testing positive. Up until now, anyway, as far as I know, neither of them have developed pneumonia.
Right. Well, he's got diabetes, so he's really at risk. So let's
right, hope. Right. And that's the case, is that, those that are 60, 70, 80 years old and have an underlying disease are at risk. Although I did post the two fatalities, and the Department of Health put out a timeline as well as symptoms. And the male who is 87, he did have a couple underlying diseases, whereas the female didn't. So she didn't have underlying disease. She was 84. And they both ended up going into the hospital about 8 days before they died, and they both ended up deteriorating in the hospital and passed away, and they were both in their 80s. So you don't necessarily need the underlying condition. And when you get to that age, if you get to 60 or especially 70, a high percentage of the people are going to have some type of underlying condition that, mm-hmm. they're going to cite as having an underlying condition. I mean, diabetes is one, different breathing issues. I mean, more serious ones would be something like COPD. So if you've got some type of lung disease going in, and then you get this virus. But, you know, some of the underlying conditions are just obesity. You know, if you're, you know, morbidly obese, your risk factor is up higher, and you'll end up with complications, including breathing difficulties, and then you end up with the pneumonia, and it kind of goes downhill. So getting back to the Diamond Princess, there's a couple more chapters that are still being written.
One day, you're going to slip up and do my line. I know you are.
Right, call it the Corona. Yeah, well.
The Corona
right
Princess.
Now, right. And it is essentially pretty much that. You know, I have said that I wouldn't be surprised if the number of cases ends up hitting 1,000. And it's not going to hit 1,000 based on testing by Japan, because they've kind of changed the rules again. You know, what it sounded like they were going to do, and I'm pretty sure it is what they were going to do, because I actually heard the captain kind of announce it, and it indicated that they were going to test everybody on the ship. And they were starting those rounds this week, and they were going to run through. And if you got and you came up negative on this round, you were free to go. And you know, there was questions. Well, why are they testing them again? Yeah, I mean, the reason they test them again is very obvious, and that is that they want to make sure that they didn't get infected between the first time they were tested, which in some cases were as long as 10, 12 days ago, and when they're going to discharge them. So they want to make sure they're not infected mm-hmm. when they're being discharged. And so it sounded like they were going to test, you know, all 3,700, or since the U.S. had already pulled some out, it'd be a little less than 3,700. But they would be testing everybody that was on the ship, and you needed a negative to get off. If you were positive, you were going to go to the hospital, or potentially to the hospice, and before you got to the hospital. And then, you know, after last night's interview, it was at 5 in the morning. It gets later every day. And they came out and they said, well, they only got 13 positives. So the number, you know, is only up to, 634 now. And as soon as I saw that they got 13 positive, the question was, well, how many did they test? I thought they were going to be testing 600 or 700. And if they're really only 13 positives out of 600 or 700, and the answer is, who knows? Probably no, because they only tested, 50-something. So instead of testing 600, they only tested 50. And it appears that the ones that were tested were the ones that were symptomatic, or maybe the symptomatic and close contacts. And because of these 13, only 6 were asymptomatic. So 7 of the 13 actually had symptoms. And it's clear they're not going to test everybody again. They're done testing. They're just kind of mopping up now and testing people that have reported symptoms and who they're, you know, they're in a cabin. They would probably, with a spouse, they would probably be testing the spouse or other family members if they're, you know, more on board that are related to each other. And, and probably the same thing with the crews, because I don't think they're that separate. So, they might have more close contacts. And so they're not even going to go through the motion of testing everybody before they let them go, because in one sense, nobody recognized that as being the proper way to do the quarantine, because you basically have let them go way too long under these circumstances, and you're going to have some people that are negative on this later test. And still be infected because they just don't have enough virus yet, and people have been become infected every day since they've been doing the quarantine. But they're not even going to do that. They're just essentially saying, we're done. if you got tested 10 days ago and you were negative,
wash your hands.
And we don't think you're positive as far as symptoms. And like I said, I think that their definition of symptomatic is having a fever. So if you don't have a fever and you were tested once, sometime in the last 14 days and you were negative, that we consider you negative and you're ready to go. And every other country is saying, well, you're not ready to go. You're ready to go into a real quarantine. And if you come on our planes or if you come to the United States or whatever country, you have to have evidence that you have been asymptomatic and that you've been tested, that you're definitely negative on a PCR test. So it's still a messy situation, and I believe they're asking for everybody to be off the ship, I think, by the end of this week. And so there are people that have relatives, in some cases spouses, or probably in a lot of cases spouses, who are in the hospital. They're in Japan, and they can't really go back to the United States because they haven't really completed the quarantine. Their spouse is still there, and they were kind of waiting it out on the ship, but now they can't do that. They've got to get off the ship and figure out where to go. And, they're kind of like out of the pot and the fire type of a thing, because Japan is now reporting local transmission, and the U.S. just issued a travel warning, a level one. I think it gets up to three. I'm not sure who it was. I don't know if it's the State Department or the CDC. I think it might have been the CDC. So I think there's only go up to three as far as the levels, but a level one for Japan, because there is local transmission. So they're not quite saying don't go to Japan. They're saying be aware of the fact that there is local transmission in Japan. And that may change, fairly quickly, because, like I said, once you have community transmission, then it's all over the place. And as long as you know that it's there and you're actually testing for it, then you suddenly find, a lot more positives, and the numbers start to accelerate. And that appears to be what's happening in South Korea right now, where, like I said, they're up to 150 cases, and I think they were maybe at 50 just a few days ago, or maybe the beginning of the week. They're up to 156 right now. And that's what the concern is. The concern is that several of these countries now have community transmission. And WHO was asked, well, why isn't this considered a pandemic? And the reason it's not considered a pandemic is because local transmission hasn't been demonstrated in, essentially they look for local transmission to be in I believe, multiple all of the continents except for Antarctica. So it really hasn't gotten to that level yet.
Oh, that's the criteria. Okay. All right, I see.
Right.
South Korea, I only had 104 here, and that was up two-thirds over the day before, up to 104. But now you say how much?
156.
Well, that's really skyrocketing there. It's out of control.
Yeah. And that's what happens. It quickly goes into this too many to count kind of category, where it's, you know, they're popping up all over the place, and you know that it's a lot higher than it's being reported, because the only ones that are really being reported are the lab-confirmed ones. And if you've got 156 and it's local transmission, then you've got a lot more than that are infected with the virus, do have symptoms, and aren't going to the doctor, and then an even higher number, or at least more, that are asymptomatic, so they've got the virus and don't have symptoms. In some of those cases, they're going to have symptoms. And that's what's going on in the U.S. right now. And it's hard to get the numbers, but it appears that those that were evacuated, even though they had been negative, at least prior to the evacuation. And as we mentioned a couple days ago, 14 of them were positive based upon the testing by Japan, but they had already got on the bus and were getting ready to leave. And then I think there was another set that were positive by Japan, and the CDC was notified, and these had already landed in the U.S., and so they've been identified. So there's two sets of U.S. evacuees that tested positive in Japan and are in the United States. And it sounds like those are being moved to hospitals. So there's some media reports that indicate that in the area of Travis Air Force Base in Northern California, there's about a dozen that have been placed into local hospitals who are either positive based on testing by Japan before they left, or at least the samples were collected before they left. The testing was actually done after they left, but it was given to the CDC. So they're positive based upon testing in the labs run by Japan, and or they've since developed symptoms since they landed and are put in the hospital and are being tested. And at least what's been written in some of the media reports, they've contacted the CDC to find out if these patients have been tested or what the results are. And they're saying CDC's not talking. You know, they're basically not returning their calls. And so they're kind of in limbo exactly what's going on with these patients. But one of the media reports, I've been traveling, so I'm behind on all these postings. I haven't been around that much since yesterday. But the media reports are indicating there may be a dozen that are hospitalized in Northern California, and there's probably the same number that are hospitalized in
run that by me again,
Texas.
Henry, please. A dozen hospitalized
there are
in Northern California?
Correct. Okay. Near Travis Air Force Base, and there's
yes.
probably the same number that are by Lackland Air Force Base.
The
numbers that went to those were in the same ballpark. There was a little bit more, I think, at Travis, and there's 170 versus 150 or something. And then there's still the ones that went to Omaha. And there may be some shuffling of these. I'm not exactly sure if they're all in California or Texas or whether the numbers in Omaha has gone up. But I'm virtually positive that the plan was that all 328 would be tested by the CDC and they would get their own numbers. And that would give a good indication on how many of the ones that were said to be negative by Japan really were positive, and whether that was, you know, when they were tested. Some of the ones that are negative by Japan were tested days before they left. So they would have, you know, a significant amount of time to actually to have become infected. And how many potentially were tested just before? Well, actually, they were tested after they left, but on samples that were collected just before they left. And whether the CDC confirms that and they end up getting positives on them, and what the results are for the ones that were said to be negative, that were tested in the same batches. So the CDC should have all of that information on exactly who was tested when and what the results were. And that if they release that information, and they might not even release it directly, it might be indirectly, by just saying, well, we now have X number of individuals who tested positive on our tests that are, you know, basically part of the group, part of the 328. And that would give an idea how many positives there really are. And then that could probably be extrapolated to the whole passenger and crew list to come up with how many people were likely to have been infected. And then the question is going to be whether all of these other countries, there's over 50 countries, whether all of these other countries are going to test them and then how accurate their tests are on picking these up, because it sounds like these people run the gamut, that even though they are asymptomatic by Japan standards, that they've been positive on the test in Japan in some cases and listed as asymptomatic. And whether the tests in these other countries are as sensitive as Japan's. I mean, Japan usually is known for pretty advanced laboratory techniques.
Right.
And,
all right.
And they should be positive.
But, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, there's a lot of news there for all of you out there. We'll be back tomorrow night, Henry and I, to bring you up to date as we roll into another weekend on Friday night. Thanks, Henry, as always. Terrific.
Okay. Very good. See you tomorrow.
Okay. All righty. And thanks to all of you for being here. We are, we're watching it. Okay. Talk soon. Take care.